morning, Clay 1180 listeners. This is Zach and Steve with Biz Culture Matters. We are excited to be back on the air with you. It's about week three, week four of January. Everybody's New Year's resolutions are hopefully coming together well. Steve, did you set any New Year's resolutions? I don't think you did.
No, I did. I set some, but I was listening on television and I was hearing all the statistics about how long New Year's resolutions lasted. And you listen to that stuff, you can get real discouraged. You can be happy that we're not going to give you any bad news today. So if you made a New Year's resolution and fell off the wagon, get back on and start over again, because 12-month cycles.
I say stay off the wagon. Just stay off altogether. I had a friend the other day tell me that visitations at the gym were up, not subscriptions. She works at the gym. But she said visitations are up for January. So hopefully you're hitting the
gym,
hitting the cheeseburger.
Is a visitation at a gym like a visitation at a hospital?
Yeah.
I mean, you wait until you get, you know, someone in your family gets sick and then you go check it out.
They have visiting room hours. You wait till you can't button the top button in your pants.
We better stop all this nonsense and get to our guests, or we're going to waste a lot more time.
No, it's all right. Let's continue to waste time. So, no, just kidding. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're listening. Hopefully you're tuning in on a bright and shiny Saturday morning. But we do live in the Puget Sound area, so it's probably raining. Steve, any upcoming business culture companies and stuff that you're working with now that you want to share about?
We got some great projects working with Toyota, and just have a new project getting ready to go to the second level with the Washington Department of Commerce, who've just done a wonderful job. Listeners, you probably heard Rogers Weed, their director, share some of the great success they've had at implementing lean culture with some of our tools and process a few weeks ago when he was on the air. If not, visit us at excellentcultures.com and download the podcast. It's great if you're implementing any kind of lean tools, lean process, lean manufacturing in your organization. So a lot of good things going, working with an automotive consolidator firm, retail automotive back in Washington, D.C., starting a new project with a very successful local real estate property management firm here in the Puget Sound area. So a lot of folks looking, a lot of leaders looking for ways to raise the expectations and the performance of their people to the level of the vision of what the leader sees.
Yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful thing. And to engage us is pretty simple. You can email us at info@excellentcultures.com. We love having conversations and discussions with you. You can also go to the excellentcultures.com webpage on the very top of the homepage, right after it says 35 years of doing this stuff. There's a big green button that says Get Started. Email us, talk to us. Let's have a conversation about where you're at with your business, with your people. And guaranteed, it always also goes into family and how we can help in those areas as well. So we're excited. We're excited about our guest today, huh, Steve?
Yeah. I've known Matt for a little while now, and I'm very impressed with him as a leader, very impressed with his firm and the kind of work that they are doing. Matt has a very solid, military background, served as a leader in the Air Force for our country.
Air Force is where the smart people go.
That's where the smart military guys go. I was in the Army, man. I was in the Army.
Grunts go to the Army, muscle goes to the Marines, and smart guys go to the Air Force.
I was in the Army, and I finished on the dean's list.
Nice.
So,
and if you don't get seasick, you go to the Navy.
We're
excited about Matt Schaefer, founder and president, head honcho there over there at Salient 6, located right here in Bellevue, Washington. BS, Computer Information Science. See, here's the stuff we're talking about, Matt, and he's an Air Force genius. And MS in Technology Management, had some time there with a couple of different other companies, IT directing and software engineer for the Air Force, all sorts of good stuff. And he's a fisherman, which means he's probably up on a Saturday morning ready to talk to us on the radio on the lake.
Yeah, usually CEOs like Matt are on the way to the office at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to catch up on something so they can go fishing.
Nah, he's fishing. Matt, we want to welcome you to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So, Matt, tell our listeners about Salient 6. I mean, what you guys are doing is really cool. I mean, this is the boutique software technology design firm of technology design firms in the Northwest, and they're kind of quiet. You know, a lot of folks haven't heard of them, but it's not because they're not great. It's because they're just so busy doing so much work that it's hard to get their attention. Tell us about Salient 6, Matt.
Well, I'm the CEO of Salient 6. We are headquartered here in Bellevue, Washington. And we really focus on helping our customers maximize the business value that they get out of SharePoint. Lots of people that have been out in the business world may have seen SharePoint. And it's a Microsoft tool, it's a Microsoft platform that can be used to create intranets, extranets, and also public-facing websites. So for those that aren't super tech-savvy, I think everybody pretty much knows what the internet is or what a website is. It's publicly available. Of course, anybody can get on, you know, your browser and get to an internet site. An intranet, kind of think of interstate, intrastate highways, right? An intranet is just for people within an organization, usually, to view information that's relevant to them inside that organization. An extranet is kind of in between. Here's an example of an extranet. I'm my health insurance provider. I can actually get on the intranet and see their homepage and everything they want me to know about their organization. But I can actually log into that, and now I'm kind of in their extranet where I can get more information now that they know who I am and I've logged into that. So SharePoint's a Microsoft product, has been around, gee whiz, about 12 years plus now in some form. And lots of customer organizations buy it, and it's such a powerful, robust platform, they don't know what to do with it. So what we start with customers, we come in and with our business consulting hats on, and really try to understand what's your business strategy for the next year or two, what are your objectives and goals you're trying to achieve. Sometimes that's revenue goals, sales goals, marketing goals. That can be culture goals as well. And we want to talk to those leaders that are responsible for those business objectives and find how we can move the needle in their business using persuasive technology. For instance, if a organization or a company is having employee retention problems, we could work with the HR director, whoever runs HR, and put up some websites internally on their intranet that really engage employees and help them feel like they're part of the team. One customer we recently helped, they're in our local area, and over the last few years they've made a number of acquisitions around the country, and their satellite offices got a little bit detached from, you know, the big ivory white tower back here at headquarters, especially since these were acquisitions and not organically grown. And so by using effective video, by using blogs internally, by spotlighting employees, by establishing community groups, we're really able to help this organization feel like they're all part of one big team. So we come in, consult up front. We do a lot of visual design. We call that user experience because in addition to, you know, what colors and what shapes do you have on the page, it's how you organize information on a web property. That can really engage the user, or if you don't do that well, it results in low adoption. So getting users to use their web properties is a big piece of that user experience design, visual design. And then, of course, we implement the technology as well. So we have folks on our team that do a lot of business consulting. We have designers on our team, and we have extremely technical software developer types on our team.
So, Matt, when you typically get a call from a company, and let's use the example you came up with of they've got turnover problems or they want to reduce their turnover, and you go in and talk to them about, you know, what's the nature of the turnover and look at all the numbers and have the discussion and start designing technology solutions to improve the communication and the input and find out things. Typically, you know, what's the size of firms that you're working with in terms of number of employees? What's like the smallest number of employee client you have and the largest?
Well, any size company practically, you know, from dozens of people and up can benefit from this. But our niche is usually helping 1,000 to 3,000 person companies on the low end all the way up to enterprises that have, you know, 30, 40,000 plus employees or more.
Wow. So 1 to 3,000, you know, to hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands, that's a huge span.
Yeah, it is. But they tend to have the same types of problems. They just have them on different scales.
So any business leader who's listening that wants to leverage the technology that they probably bought but aren't using in a way that it increases the effectiveness and performance of the communication of their people, decreases, turnover increases, revenue, they should visit salient6.com and talk to you guys?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, that sounds great. Had no idea that you worked with firms that are that small, but gosh, everybody's got technology these days. Wouldn't it be nice to know how to use what we've already paid for, in order to solve some of the problems and challenges that we experience on a daily basis?
Of course, and that's why we call it maximize the business value that customers are getting out of SharePoint, because SharePoint has a massive install base, lots of organizations, companies that it's installed in, but because it can be complex and robust, they just kind of don't know what to do with it, right? And oftentimes in your mid-sized organizations, they don't have dedicated teams with the deep expertise to know what to do with it. So they've already bought it, so we just want to come in and help them get the most value out of it and the most business value, and that's what kind of differentiates us, is we really start with the business objective and how can technology and user engagement support that.
Yeah, that's great to hear, Matt. So Excellent Cultures first met Matt and his firm, Salient 6, when they were going through a transition from, you know, one style of business and culture to a new style of business and culture. And one of the things that I was very impressed with in what I learned from Matt and what I learned from his partners and his colleagues was their vision for a culture of ethics, values, and employee engagement. And, you know, if you're on the internet and if you're searching, ethics, values, and employee engagement are all hot topics and big subjects. And if you're a technology guy or gal, they're SEO savvy components out there. So everybody's talking about them, but talking about them and living them are two different things. And what I learned in Matt's organization is these guys live it. So what we're going to do after our break is, Matt, ask you to tell us about your vision and S6's vision for a culture, an ideal culture of ethics, values, and employee engagement.
Taking a break. Be right back on Clay 1180 AM.
Remember Ross Perot, the Texas millionaire who ran for president in the early 90s? Did you realize that he's built multiple companies that sold for billions? Each of his companies held a strong values-based culture. We interviewed his CFO and COO. His insightful comments on the role of culture in business are posted on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com. Take a look. You'll gain wonderful insights to building your own excellent cultures on excellentcultures.com. You can also follow us at XLNT Cultures or Facebook/Excellent Cultures.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
As an executive, CEO, or business owner, do you find yourself struggling with work-life balance and achieving your goals at work and home? Are you overwhelmed in your workload and feel important things aren't getting done? Our coaches specialize in helping leaders like you overcome challenges and build a plan to recenter their life to achieve the balance and success you've always hoped for in your business and your personal life. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures about the right plan for you.
Welcome back, listeners, to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM, Seattle Tacoma's Conversation Station. We have on the line Matt Schaefer, CEO of Salient 6. His personal Twitter account that I'm looking at while talking to him says they're actually looking for a SharePoint architect right now. So I'm just throwing that stuff out there, Matt, for you while we're talking to you. So if you're a SharePoint architect looking for a new job or job vibe, you got it. Salient 6, Matt Schaefer, great company. Steve.
And if you're a firm looking for somebody to help you improve the communications of your people, you definitely want to go call somebody that's so busy doing what they're doing that they got to hire more folks to get the job done.
For sure.
So.
And Matt's on the show because we've been involved in their company. We've seen their culture. I've seen their culture data. And they're a good company
they're
to work
guys.
For. Their guys are happy. As soon as I walked in, my favorite thing was seeing one of the Salient Six guys' giant Lego creations, Star Wars creations that he'd brought into the office.
So are Lego creations cool. part of the culture at Salient Six, Matt?
They are. The Legos tend to come and go because Rob is our Lego fan, and he'll build the really big sets and bring them in and set them here for a month or two, then take them back home. So they kind of cycle in and out. But actually, what's a little more pervasive in the culture is Star Wars.
Nice.
A little pervasive among the techies, so our conference rooms are actually named after like Star Wars planets and places.
That's awesome. That's great. That's
stuff
great.
On the wall.
Every good company knows about the Force.
Well,
every good company.
Well, every good techie lives in the Force.
Right. I'm a bit of a Star Trek guy myself. Yeah, so.
Yeah. So tell us about. I mean, Matt, what's your vision for an ideal culture of ethics, values, and employee engagement? I mean, what are you setting goals to have for your culture?
Sure. That is such a broad question, but I'll pick up a facet of that might be a little unique. And something just came to mind of the upside-down organizational chart or upside-down organizational pyramid. Don't know if you've ever seen something like this, but it's really where the, quote, leadership are at the bottom equipping the folks that are doing the job, right, that are at the top of this upside-down triangle and are the vast majority of the company. What that means to me, when we think about a vision of ethics and values, is you, as a leader, as an organization, you've got to over-communicate your values all the way down to every line worker, every person out there doing the job, every middle manager, all the way from top to bottom, right? Just having your values and posting them on the wall or posting them on your intranet homepage is insufficient. You've really got to evangelize, over-communicate what our values are all the way down to the newest person and the most junior person in your company, whether that's a back office employee or somebody that's customer facing all the time or anywhere in between. And I think it's important for everybody to really understand those values. And, you've got a culture, whether you know it or not, and you might need to go through an exercise to really get everybody in the same room and ensure that you've got the same vision for that culture, right? That you've got the same values, that you're crafting that together.
Yeah, it's interesting that you should say that, Matt, because in the the scientific data instruments that we use to measure culture, it is very, very typical. In fact, 7 out of 10 firms who think they have common values and common culture really don't.
Mm-hmm.
And when you ask the CEO, yeah, we've been preaching this stuff for years. Oh, yeah, this is what we hire on. But then when you actually go and gather data that shares what is going on inside of the people's minds and hearts, it's just flat not the case. So this evangelizing and over-communicating values is a real key point. And what you're going to see us, the quote that you're going to see us tweeting is what you just said, that posting your values on your website and on your wall are not enough.
Right.
Tell us a little bit more about how you evangelize your values in a way that folks can live them rather than just see some nice warm and fuzzy words on a website or on a goal frame on a wall.
Oh, that's a great question, and I love the answer. One of the companies that I previously worked for, some of my comrades here at Salient Six worked there also. We had a really dynamic, awesome organization when we were there. And something I picked up on from my leaders, those that were mentoring me at the time, and this permeated the organization, is something that since I've coined knowledge management by talking aloud. You might have heard the principle, somewhat common in business books, of what's it called, management by walking around.
Yeah.
Walking around with your people, rubbing elbows with them, when they're doing the job, understand they know what's going on. But what I found super effective, this knowledge management by talking aloud, is in every conversation, when a team sits down to work together, when you're talking about a customer problem, when you're talking about an opportunity, or whether you're talking about a challenge where maybe you under-delivered or a customer's got an unrealistic ask, if we talk about our values in those conversations, talk about our principles that guide how we deal with those situations, the more you talk out loud about it with people, the more they're going to ingest it, right? Again, this is moving from being posted on the wall to permeating every conversation. Like, take a value of we are accountable for our work or accountable for our quality. You know, just a few weeks ago, we had a project, a sizable project, and it was a small piece of it that where we didn't meet client expectations. And we went back and on our own dime actually exceeded his expectations for that. And as I'm talking with our team about how we were going to approach that, and it went great, I was able to work in that story accountability, right? We stand behind our work. We stand behind our quality even when it costs us money, right? A great quote I heard the other day was, would you stick to your values even if it meant losing money, losing people, losing position? Are your values more important to you than your own comfort and convenience? And in this case, we took that for a test drive. Our value of being accountable for the quality of our work was more important to us than charging the customer the money to make up that gap.
That's really awesome. What you're going to see available on our site very soon, listeners, at no charge, is a summary of all of these best practices that our guests on Biz Culture Matters are, you know, telling us about in an ebook, you know, format. And what you just heard from Matt, if you're, you know, you're not driving and you're where you can, you know, take a note or, you know, take a text note or even a voice memo, huge insight. I mean, this capacity to be able to not preach values from on high, but integrate discussion around application of values into everything that you accomplish or that you do or the mistakes that you make or the successes that you have. And it's that kind of discussion and application and understanding that builds a culture. And it's the absence of it and believing that, well, because we've got these beautiful godmom apple pie values on our website that, you know, we're a wonderful firm and have a wonderful culture that, you know, causes it to not work. So great insight. Any other insights or comments on your vision for an ideal culture of ethics, values, and employee engagement?
We've got to establish those ethics and those values, right? And there's a couple other angles that I think support that success. One is clear expectations, right? Which comes from evangelizing. The other is stewardship. So let me hit expectations first, then we'll move on to stewardship. Knowledge management by talking aloud, this is a way of setting expectations around our values. It's a way of evangelizing it, right? But between manager and employee, between business partners, between you and customers, or any relationship is really what we're getting at here, right? Having clear expectations really helps prevent and even diffuse conflict, right? If you agree beforehand of, here's my responsibilities, there's your responsibilities, we believe we've got all responsibilities and accountabilities covered here, and I'm going to operate within my bounds here, and you operate within those bounds, and we believe if we work this way, then we will achieve success in what it is we're trying to do. Having those clear expectations of each other, I've found, is really just super key in bringing your values to life, right? And you asked about employee engagement. Engagement goes up when you give people ownership of what they're accountable for. You set those clear expectations of accountability, responsibility, and you make it clear of, hey, you're responsible for this. Sometimes you could tie it to goals like compensation. Sometimes you could tie it to goals like recognition, right? When you look at an organizational perspective, sometimes you can give people ownership of, you know, a small piece of the company or somehow share in success with them. But when you are working with people, whether it's, you know, employee engagement or whether you're working side by side in a nonprofit, we're all stewarding something of someone else's most of the time. If you're an employee, you're stewarding the time that your employer is paying you to be on the job. When we're doing a project for a customer, we're stewarding their budget in order to achieve success for them. We're stewarding other people's things. So when you give clear expectations about what a person in their role and responsibilities are stewarding, that sense of ownership really, really increases the engagement of that person or that team, because that takes them from, oh, I'm just showing up doing work for the big guy again today, I'm showing up doing my job, to actually showing up and making a difference and understanding what they're making a difference in.
Very well said, Matt. We're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, we're going to ask Matt to expand a little bit on this accountability point.
We'll be back, taking a break. Play 1180 AM. We'll be right back.
ExcellentCultures.com is always interviewing leaders committed to cultural leadership, excellence, and change. These leaders, like Russell Freeman, Ross Perot's COO, and Bob Hinton, CPA and Moss Adams Managing Partner, have world-class ideas. As advocates for creating a strong corporate culture that builds people and serves customers with excellence, they share breakthrough business ideas. Gain insights from Russell, Bob, and others on the Culture News blog at ExcellentCultures.com.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
Has business taken over your life? Are you living to work or working to live? Stress, broken marriages, neglected relationships, and poor health are symptoms of a life out of balance. The right coaching plan can have transformational impact on the quality of your performance at work, depth of relationships at home, and personal sense of well-being. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures how coaching can help you maximize your life and optimize your work. Stop struggling to survive. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures how coaching can help you maximize your life and optimize your work.
We're back, listeners. Clay 1180 AM, Seattle Tacoma's Conversation Station. Steve, we're still talking with Matt Schaefer. Lead back into where you were going there.
Yeah, Matt, you were, before the break, you were talking to us about ownership and accountability. You made a statement that was very, very profound, that engagement goes up when you give people ownership of what they're accountable for. What we see in our work at Excellent Cultures frequently is two types of accountability in organizations, one that works and one that leaders who are not enlightened think works, but it really doesn't. And I like to equate them or describe them as want to accountability and have to accountability. Have to accountability is the kind of accountability that the boss, it always has an or else attached to it. The boss says, this is your job, I'm holding you accountable for this. And whether it's actually said or not said, it's always implied that if you don't do what I'm holding you accountable for, something awful, there's an or else factor. Something awful is going to happen to you. And want to accountability is when you have a culture full of people who are raising their hands saying, boss, please hold me accountable for this piece of the puzzle or this piece of the project. You know, I'll take accountability for that. And when they make a mistake, it's my bad, sorry, you know, fess it and fix it. You know, I messed up, I'll do better next time. And when you don't have that type of ownership and accountability, it's really easy for sneaky politics to sneak their way into a culture and really mess it up. Matt, give us some more examples about how you foster this want to accountability, this ownership of, you know, or engagement that goes up through ownership of what people are accountable for.
Sure, and I'm going to back that up as succinctly as I can into kind of vision and mission, right? If you've got a vision of where you want to go and a mission of kind of what you do and how you're going to get there, and you over-communicate and evangelize that with your values to the people, they understand where the team or the organization is going, right? And where you can be an effective leader in a selfless way is you align what needs to be done to where we're going, right? If I see a need in the organization and I know somebody's a good fit for fulfilling that need, taking that project, leading that effort or whatever, don't start that with a, I need you to, or I want you to. You start that conversation with, hey, you realize that we're going this way, right? This is our goal this year to do that. Well, you know, to reach that goal, the team really needs somebody to do X, Y, Z. You'd probably be a great person to fulfill that. Here's what that would look like. Would you be interested in doing that? And that's when you'll find that if you were correct in aligning that person's strengths to that need in the organization, that turns into your want-to situation as opposed to have-to.
Yeah.
And again, having that clear expectation of where are we going, and starting your sentence with the organization needs or the team needs, or in order to do this goal, we need X, you know, can you come alongside and or support that? That takes it from a directive leadership of I want you to a very facilitating leadership of motivating other people to get to that common goal.
Yeah, so very well said, Matt. So many of the leadership examples in organizations that we gather data on that defines what's really going on in the culture that people don't see or they don't recognize is about leaders who really feel like they're doing what Matt just said. And, you know, let's say they, you know, you're a leader and you're listening to the show and you listen to what Matt said and you download the podcast and you go back and listen to it again. And okay, my New Year's resolution for this year is when I approach my people as a leader with projects, you know, I'm going to talk to them like Matt does. I'm going to say, you know, we need somebody that can really do this for this project. We think you could do it well. Would you be interested in taking it? So they go through the words and they gather the feedback from the employee. But what they forget to do is listen to the tone of voice and watch the body language of the answer that comes back.
Yeah.
Because what happens in defensive cultures and political cultures and passive defensive and passive aggressive cultures is the people are really, you know, in the habit of raising their hand and saying, okay, I'll do that. Yeah, I'll take advantage of it. But deep down inside, what they're saying to themselves is, you know, okay, I'm going to nod my head and smile to get the boss off my back. And it's that internal nod my head and smile as opposed to the true, yeah, I'll be accountable for that.
Yeah.
That makes the difference between, you know, good and great and sometimes between terrible and great.
Yeah, and you know what else I've noticed recently, Steve, and I've really put this in my toolkit, is most people, when you're trying to lead them somewhere or ask them to take on responsibility, they need to sleep on it. You know, some of us process stuff really quick, and we'll come right back with, well, my concern is X, Y, and Z, and I can do 1, 2, and 3, and I can fit it in here. There's your risk, and I'll do it, but this is a likely outcome. And you go, 70% of the outcome, yeah, sure, I'm in. You know, some of us process that way. But I found that and I do, but you know, and we always tend for other people to process things the way we do. But I've found that when you approach people with ideas or responsibilities, you need to give them a night or two to sleep on it, because usually their initial reaction is only 10% thought out. And they need a day or two to stew on it and come back and you know, sleep on it and really come back and tell you how they feel about it, which is usually a good thing.
Yeah. Well, so what advice are you going to give to the type A results-driven CEO who needs to know now, wants to know
I'll give him
now.
Some advice.
Yeah.
Stop it. Get over yourself. There you go. How's that for advice? No, go ahead.
And you know, you're telling these type A, you know, workaholics who are listening to this show because we're driving to the office on Saturday morning because we didn't get everything done during the week, and, you know, we're calling our staff on the Bluetooth as we go to make sure that they've got this project and this check off in this process working.
That's micromanaging.
Yeah. You know, who are most of the guys that listen to these kind of shows? Because the rest, you know, people who don't act like that and think like that and have cultures like that, they're sleeping in. They're sleeping in on Saturday morning. So
I think one of the biggest challenges with those type A folks that do that is by nature, they have a hard time delegating.
Yeah, that's true.
So were you ever a type A guy, Matt?
Oh, man, I'm a weirdo type A.
How did you break the habit?
I'm a type A from being an extrovert. Don't get nervous being in front of people. You know, I'm a musician. I've been in front of a bunch of people. I don't mind talking in front of people. I like to facilitate conversation. I just like to talk, if you haven't figured that out. And, you know, I spent 12 years active duty in the military. I got out as a staff sergeant. I was a boom operator in KC-135s. And I have no problem being directive, you know. I mean, the U.S. government, thank you for paying your taxes, ingrained in me how to be directive, right? But sometimes I've found that I want to be more facilitating and not directive enough, right? Sometimes people want directive. It's not a self-centered have-to kind of directive and accountability you're talking about, right? But sometimes they need that direction. So where I tend to err more often than not is not that I'm afraid to delegate or don't want to delegate. It's, well, maybe it's all of our problems. I feel like I've got to be the one that does this. You know, it's not stopping and taking a moment to think, wow, could I actually give this task or this project to that person and let them run with it, knowing that the outcome might only be 70% of what I expect, or I think I could do it at an 85%, whether you really can or not, right? So, yeah, I've had challenges delegating before, and you know what? It seems to be more pervasive in people and organizations that are very technical, right, where you've got really, what's the right word?
Perfectionistic?
Well, people that are doing like high engineering work,
yeah.
Right? Computer design, you know, maybe biomedical kind of stuff. The more technical, the more niche someone is, and the longer you do it, the more you expect everyone else to do it as good as you do, and the harder it is to delegate to somebody more junior because, you know, it's going to take time to help nurture them to do it at the expectation you have.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is I was having a leadership conversation with a friend of mine the other day, and I haven't done the research on this, but one of the things that he told me he had read is back in the day with Hitler's army, one of the things they were actually looking for in their leadership was lazy leaders because they knew that they would be leaders that would delegate, which I thought was thank God Hitler's army lost and the good guys won,
yeah.
But I thought what an interesting thing to look for in your leaders. Because you want people that will delegate. You want people not that will pass the buck, but that will do what it takes to get other people going in the process. I thought that was an interesting leadership thought.
Well, that is an interesting facet.
Also, they were probably looking for lazy leaders because they were more apt to do what they were told
that
without
too.
Thinking about whether it was right or wrong.
Yeah, that too.
They would just kind of flow along. So, Matt, as we're going to move to a break here in a little bit, but as we do, want you to be thinking about this employee engagement question. You know, the recent Gallup survey tells us that, you know, 71% of American workers are effectively disengaged in their jobs. And basically people showing up every day, punching the clock or drawing a check, but it's not their favorite place to be. They wish they were someplace else. And they do it just for the money and not for the passion. Looking for you to share with us when we get back from the break your insights on the whole subject matter of how ethics and values in a culture connect with employee engagement.
Remember Ross Perot, the Texas millionaire who ran for president in the early 90s? Did you realize that he's built multiple companies that sold for billions? Each of his companies held a strong values-based culture. We interviewed his CFO and COO. His insightful comments on the role of culture in business are posted on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com. Take a look. You'll gain wonderful insights to building your own excellent cultures on excellentcultures.com. You can also follow us at XLNTCultures or Facebook/Excellent Cultures.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
As an executive, CEO, or business owner, do you find yourself struggling with work-life balance and achieving your goals at work and home? Are you overwhelmed in your workload and feel important things aren't getting done? Our coaches specialize in helping leaders like you overcome challenges and build a plan to recenter their life, to achieve the balance and success you've always hoped for in your business and your personal life. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures about the right plan for you.
Hey, listeners, we are back on Clay 1180 with Biz Culture Matters. We're talking to Matt Schaefer from Salient 6 and Steve Gandra and myself, Zach, and we are talking culture, we're talking employee engagement, we're talking all the good stuff that everybody wants to be a part of. Glad you're here, Matt. Continue on, Steve.
So before the break, we were talking about the connection between employee engagement and the Gallup poll that tells us that 71-ish% of our employees in North America are effectively disengaged in their jobs, and the whole concept of a culture of ethics and values. Matt, tell us if, you know, in your experience, and I mean not only from your own firm, but you know, you do business with some of the biggest and best companies in the world, your clients, what do you see in terms of a connection between these two? Is there a connection, and if so, what is it that you see?
I think the connection is trust. Between customers and our organization, any organization, or between, you know, the management ownership team of an organization and employees, if you don't live out your ethics, your values, you lose trust, and people won't believe in you, they won't believe in the organization, they'll be looking over their shoulder to see where they may not trust you, if you set that premise, right? A value should always be integrity, right? And there's just no reason why that can't have to be on everybody's list of values and every organization's list of values. But when you have integrity and you're honest, even about mistakes, there's genuineness that comes across, right? And when you're genuine with people, whether that's peers, subordinates, your boss, your customers, when you're really genuine, they will trust you. And if people trust you, they'll be engaged because they'll be committed to your common goals, the team, the organization's goals. And you know what? They'll be committed to you because that genuineness based on integrity really generates loyalty.
So along those lines, Matt, what happens? People are people. Human beings are human beings. Mistakes are made. What happens when you make a promise and circumstances happen and you're not able to keep that promise for whatever reason?
You own up to it and you over-communicate.
So
right?
Give us an example.
An example of not living up to the promise.
Well, so let me pick one and then tell us how you would handle it. Let's say you make a commitment to an employee that they're going to be the one, because they raised their hand and said, I'll be accountable for this part of the project, your example from earlier. And then the client comes to you and for whatever reason has a conflict with that particular employee doing that piece of the job, and you've already made a promise to them and they're accountable and they're engaged and they're vested in it, that they're going to do that part of the project. How do you handle that one?
Well, you've got to be honest with the customer, and you've got to be honest with your team member, right? Without treading on anyone's feelings intentionally, right? If I ever make a bad call, and boy, I've made them before, that might hurt somebody or hurt business, or might have just not been the best choice, but I was accountable for that decision, made the wrong decision. I'll tell people, I'll exercise integrity, and just tell them, here's why I made this decision. Here's the framework and the factors that went into why I chose to go down this road. And now that it maybe didn't have a good outcome, in hindsight, looking retrospectively, this is what could have gone differently, or what could have shaped that decision if I would have known X, Y, or Z, right? So what I've found is when you share with people, and again, this goes back to knowledge management by talking aloud, if you share with them why you're making a decision or why you made a decision, I think that helps get everybody aligned. And a very effective way that I've found of doing that is to express sentiment. For instance, if somebody comes and asks, hey, Matt, I think we ought to go down this road or down that project path, or hey, can I go do this thing that's kind of off the beaten path, and it's not something I can make a spot decision on, I'll immediately share with them sentiment. I'm like, well, here's what's going through my mind. This could be a good part of that. This could be some risk. This is new and different for us, so we got to figure out how that works. But my sentiment is I want us to go down that road or want to allow you to go down that path or do this thing. But these are some things I've got to sort through and figure out before I can give you a good answer. So let's get back in a day or two and talk about it.
So just open discussion and good conversation. One of our colleagues at Excellent Culture is actually, you mentioned the concept and the value of integrity. And I can't remember a business that I've walked into in the last 35 years and have walked into thousands in 35 years and worked with, you know, tens of thousands of leaders in 35 years of doing this kind of culture work. I can't remember a business that I walked into that didn't have integrity or honesty or something just like it, some place in the code of ethics, in the values, in whatever, you know, sometimes in the mission, depending upon the maturity of the firm, it's there. Now, but what I find is that different people define integrity different ways. As I started to share earlier, one of our colleagues actually did a project a few years ago for a manufacturing firm, aerospace manufacturing firm, in a state where there was a law that actually to reduce recidivism in, you know, in prisons, people getting out of prison and going back, they actually paid full salary, wages, and benefits for or reimbursed firms if they hired former convicts to help folks get back to work and make a change in their lives. And they had a whole plant full of convicts that just were not performing anywhere near, you know, the rest of the expectations of the firm. And you basically ask someone who just got out of 10 years in the penitentiary how they define integrity. It might be, well, my roommate stabbed somebody yesterday and I didn't tell. I didn't rat. That's probably not at all the way you would involve your perspective or even define integrity at Salient Six. How do you get around that stuff where people define different things different ways?
Getting everybody on the same page, that goes back to you've got a culture whether you know it or not, right?
Yeah.
And you need to make sure you permeate that out to everyone so everyone is clear what those ethics are, where the boundaries are, right? And it's pretty easy and clear to articulate them. An interesting thing I've noticed is with some with my partners, you know, I think we each have a different foundation for our worldview. But our worldview, especially in terms of business, right, our ethics, is just super aligned and always has been aligned. So you've got to make that extremely clear what those ethics are. And if you don't keep evangelizing them and talk about how you make decisions based on those values and those ethics, then it becomes kind of stale. It becomes shelfware, right? But you just got to keep that conversation alive.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of reminds me a number of years ago we did a project for a very famous global firm that was founded here in the Northwest, Costco. And I remember when I was interviewing their CEO, Jim Senegal, who's a great guy. Here's a shout out for Jim and a wonderful firm, Costco. If you're listening to this, you know, via podcast, Costco's the best place to buy anything almost in the world now from a retail perspective because it's like a retail environment, but you don't pay retail price. And what Jim was the challenge that we were dealing with and that he asked us to help him with and the project that we did was formed around, you know, revitalizing, and not even revitalizing the clarity of the communication around their corporate code of ethics. And in the dialogue, you know, he was sharing that, hey, you know, we're kind of a family kind of a culture. We started this business, you know, around a table, you know, folks just talking to each other about things, just like what you just described. I mean, we over-communicated everything. We talked about things. And now we're a global company and we got tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of employees now all over the world in cultures every place. how we still have these ethics that we hold near and dear to. And the challenge, of course, was to find a way to get those communicated to everyone and build that transparency when you dealt with tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of employees, not just a handful of people sitting around the table chatting. So you're the big technology guy with the firm full of folks that enhance communication for larger organizations, Matt. So with larger organizations, clients that you have, and maybe some of our listeners out there who lead, you know, larger numbers of people, more than 100, sometimes more than 1,000, how would you recommend and how do you work with your clients with technology to enhance that trust and transparency in a way that is effective and gets the job done when you just got too many people to sit down and have open, candid conversations with?
Yeah, well, that's the beauty of having a intranet for your company or organization, right? Anyone can get to it through a web browser from practically anywhere. And it's an interesting point you brought up, that integrity might look slightly different based on different regional cultures, right? Especially when you cross continents and extremely different cultures. I imagine the culture in Zimbabwe is much different than the culture in China, is much different than, you know, somewhere in old world or older parts of Europe.
Sure, and the definitions of integrity, for sure.
Yes. So, you know, a great way to promote that across those people on an intranet is storytelling. And there's a couple ways to tell stories. There could be videos, right? Videos are extremely powerful. People will go watch a video. It's not difficult to watch a video. You click play and you listen and you absorb it quickly, right? Usually faster than you can read. You can also have... Both text, like I'm thinking white papers, but case studies, right? Here's how we treated a customer. Here's how we treated a project. Some companies call these win wires, right? The analogy being something coming across the wire like a telegram. You send out this message of, hey, here's how we delivered success to this customer. Here's how we took care of this person. Here's how one of our employees went out of their way to live out the values, right? And you turn that into an interview. And put it on a video and put it on the intranet, and those things can go viral very quickly. And just hearing voices and seeing people is an engaging way for people cross culture to really hear that story told, which can embody the values and the ethics of that organization.
Yeah, so the storytelling on video, even if you're changing the language so that people in a different country can understand it, sounds like a great way to go delivered through technology.
Yeah, and video is very underutilized in today's intranet. We see a lot of video out there on the internet, but it's just slowly getting adoption into the intranet. And something to consider around that is, you know, we propagate culture, we propagate values, the ethics internally. We have an internal brand, right? Every organization has an internal brand, kind of like culture, whether you know it or not, right?
Right.
How do your team members, your employees, perceive the company? How do they perceive their experience here? Just like a consumer has a perception of a brand of any major retailer, right? Your own people have a perception of your internal brand. And having a good, strong internal brand based on good ethics, good values, high employee engagement is not only good for the people you have, but it helps sell your organization to potential employment candidates that you want to come on board. When you get your people talking about your internal brand, that's very engaging for those that are considering joining you. On the salient6.com, on our, I think it's careers page, inside of there, you'll see a video that our people, that we put together about our people. And they're just talking about their experience here at Salient 6. And it's unscripted. It was just us interviewing them. Tell us what you think. What is it like here? And it's a very compelling story for folks that are considering joining our team. And I'd encourage any company to do that.
Yeah, very well said. So with technology now, we can do video and put it on the intranet with shared components and through SharePoint and other technology. Interesting that you say that. Here's another shout out for Jim Senegal and the guys at Costco. I remember when we did that project, we actually used video, and it was about 10 years ago, probably when SharePoint was just kind of becoming effective and famous and implemented. We actually used video, and we videotaped Jim because he's a down-to-earth, tell-it-like-it-is, great communicator, really sincere kind of a guy that you always know where you stand with, and his people admire him for that. We actually had Jim, you know, kind of, you know, we got him on video talking about his vision for the ethics and values as the introduction and part of the process of the program that established it. So, I mean, that's a great idea, Matt. Thank you for sharing that with our listeners, because video does things through technology that sometimes just text and words don't do.
And it's inexpensive and easy to attain. You know, most every smartphone that people are carrying in their pockets can do a high-quality video, certainly good enough quality to stick on their internet and tell a success story about someone on their team.
Yeah, a success story or even a transparency story when somebody made a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah, very well said. Very well said. Can you tell us anything else? Let's talk specifically about technology firms now. I mean, you guys are a technology firm. You do lots of work for other high-tech firms. Can you tell us anything that you've learned different about firms that are full of techies, for lack of a better way to describe it, technology-oriented people that can work to enhance values and culture and engagement that might be unique to the technology culture that may not fit in a manufacturing plant or in a retail store?
Yeah, that's a great question. Got to open my mind up for that because I've been working with tech people so long, it's hard for me to make a comparison.
Well, plus you are one.
Right?
Plus you are one.
Yeah, I am. I'm a has-been technologist. I try to stay current, but the older I get a little further away from it. Something that I found engaging for tech organizations is, especially the newer generation, they have expectations of what technology they expect to see in the workplace, right? If your company doesn't have a Facebook account, if you don't have a LinkedIn page, you know, they're kind of expecting those things, and this can really help them feel a sense of belonging to the organization, a sense of identity of I'm part of this team. I think I just rat-holed there and lost sight of your original question, though.
Well, the original question was, how do you do this, and is there a different way to do this with technology firms than maybe a manufacturing company or a retail company or somebody else, due to the uniqueness of folks that work in high tech?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of times your engineer types, right? They're staring at their screens all day long. They're making code, doing wonderful things with technology. It's important to, I think, pull them away from those screens, away from those keyboards, you know, at least once a week, and this is something we're trying to do more of, and just have more internal community, right? If somebody went to a training class or conference last month, have them present at the monthly employee meeting what they learned there, right? Another way to build community internally is to have brown bag sessions for lunch, right? Let's get everybody away from their desks. Let's go hang out in the big conference room and have somebody just talk about a topic that's relevant to our technology. So pulling people away from their daily grind, so to speak, their usual all-day tasks, getting them in another environment that kind of stretches their mind on some extracurricular conversation, I think really helps build a bond between folks.
Yeah, very well said, Matt.
Good stuff, Matt. Thanks, guys. We are out of time and wrapping up. You've been listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180. Remember, listeners, contact us at info@excellentcultures.com. We've got an expert ready to chat with you about your business, your issues, your culture. We want to help. We want to be a part. Always ending with a great quote. Ken Blanchard, the key to successful leadership today is influence, not authority. Remember, everybody, let's have influence built through relationship, not just directives with our people. Have a good one. Signing off, Clay 1180 AM. Thanks for listening.